systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast. It's the Pat and AJ
Podcast. We come to you surrounded by hellfire and brimstone. The Lord is angry and he is raining down his wrath upon thee.
We are surrounded by fires right now.
A little bit, yeah. I do feel like I should get my hose out and that's
you start.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. A little preemptive now.
There's a wildfire about 20 minutes north of us.
It's on the other side of the mountain.
It's on the other side of the mountain, yeah.
Which I do feel like is kind of important.
No, that helps, yeah. But that was the closest one that we've seen since we moved here. But it's not going to jump the mountain.
Now, the one in Oracle, Arizona, which is the one that she's referencing right now, that is to the north and east to us. So if you do a little bit of fire safety math, you say, okay, weather typically goes west to east. And secondly, it is on the geographical other side of a mountain range that we happen to sit at. Now,
the other one is a bigger problem, and I just found out how it started.
Unfortunately.
There is...
Whose uncle at the graduation party flicked his Marlboro Light right into some brush?
No, and this is one of those things you want to verify before you say it because you want to be an asshole. There's I think it's up to 90 acres now. There's like two fires burning in a wash.
Like in Tucson.
In Tucson.
Not like south of us.
No, populated Tucson. A wash is basically, it looks like, picture in the Midwest, like a big riverbed with no water in it. That's what a wash is.
That's where the water would go.
That's where the water would go. But there's two fires and they're, I mean, these are in populated areas.
Yeah. Now geographic to us. So the one we just spoke about is to the north and to the east. This one is to the south.
The south. Southwest.
All right, southwest.
This one's dangerous because
where is it at? Give it. It's like 22nd Street or something.
Ina
right?
And Cortaro.
Ina. Fuck, that's it's closer not good. Than I thought.
And it's. I mean, it's because it's on the loop. Apparently, it was started.
Come on.
There's a bunch of homeless people that live there, and they've been burning fires.
Yeah,
and two fires started and kind of joined this afternoon. I mean, this one's real dangerous.
That's why.
There are so many people that live around there.
That's why I want to run for president on a platform of give the homeless fire pits. That's all they need. You go to Home Depot.
Could have prevented this whole problem.
You go to Home Depot, and you get the fire pits. It was a very big thing when we lived in the Midwest. Everyone had a fire pit. Well, that's too bad.
That one makes me nervous just for all the people that live there.
I do like how we now are pinning. There's another one. I forgot where it happened, but...
It's right off the highway, this one.
I like how we're pinning the blame, which I feel like by extension, because we've done this now, like, you know, in multiple fires where we're like, is there a nefarious reason?
Yeah.
And again,
sometimes there's not.
Because it's the year 2025 and you can get away with nothing, if there is a nefarious reason, we usually figure it out.
We will find you.
And I do like the fact.
We will kill you.
Well, I think it's no. What we want to do is kill your credit, because after we imprison you, what they want to do is say, do you have any assets? Because 90 gajillion people, AKA their insurance companies, would like to speak to you because you caused a lot of financial problem, right? Why do you think Chicago became such big beef eaters? Mrs. O'Leary's cow. See, Mrs. O'Leary cow, she kicked over that lantern. Do you not know that lore?
No, you're starting to lose me, but now I see where you're going with the Chicago fires.
I just went Chicago. I did not know that was a local lore. I apologize. Chicagoans, you all know about Mrs. O'Leary's cow. To other people, that's your Google search of the day. In fact, don't even Google it. Ask your favorite AI representative and go, tell me about Mrs. O'Leary's cow. And by the way, the cow was exonerated. It wasn't the fucking cow's fault. Cow took the goddamn fall.
Usually out here, what it seems to be is that, like, the Bighorn fire, which was in the mountains behind us right before we moved here.
That was lightning, right?
That was lightning. I think that was the year before we moved here.
Good old fashioned.
Yeah, you'll get lightning in the mountains and the forest, that starts a fire.
Okay.
I'm not sure what started the Oracle fire, but yeah, in the more populated areas, that's when you get fires started by people.
By people, yeah. Well, that's we have the little fire risk things. Like, they tell you what the fire, it's like the old Smokey the Bear, like, you know.
There's a,
don't
it's
fuck
weird.
Around, fuck around, kind of fuck around, don't really
don't
fuck around.
Really don't fuck
around. Yeah, there's all different kinds.
We're in the really don't fuck around time of the year. Yeah, you can smell the smoke outside. There's an app you should download. I think it's called Watch Duty.
Okay.
It will send you alerts when there's wildfires near you. Like, that's the one I got today, was the one at Ina and Cordaro.
Right on. Well, that's the joy and glory that we bring to the opening of episode 270. We're hoping this will be our wartime correspondence. Us versus man versus fire.
Or it's our very podcast ever, and we're just going to burn alive.
We've been having all these stupid online conversations about how many men would it take to, like, whoop a gorilla's ass. No. How many men does it take to really take down a fire?
It was cool, though. We saw, I finally got to see one of those firefighting helicopters go over our house.
Yeah, AJ did get a photo of that. Perhaps we'll post it on the socials when we get this podcast episode up. But yeah, we you know, and at first we're just like, oh, it started. But then we figured out, oh, no. They're fighting the fire. We're so close to, like, military installations and the border. I have no idea what the I'm like,
Well, we have helicopters, like, big helicopters going over our house.
I didn't know if dudes are going to start rappelling down. I'm like, let's see how this plays out. And then it turns out they're putting out fires.
It happens multiple times a day. It'll shake the house. But then this one, I was like, well, it's red and white, and it's really long. And it's got, like, the two propellers. It's just, it was really cool looking.
Me and you were talking about this. We've had this discussion under, I think now, multiple different substances. And we keep coming back to the same conclusion that we feel in man's evolution in flight, right? Like, we figured out we had maximized what we could do on 2 feet. How do we get in the air? We have come to this hypothesis that the helicopter was meant to be an evolutionary jump as we further understood how to take flight. But for some reason, we refused to give it up, even though we figured out, man, it's kind of a wacky thing and it goes wrong a lot. Well, and, you know, it's not really, we can't really explain it. And you have to be trained weird ways. Shout out Kobe. So, I mean,
think about the ones that crash, though. Because I was, you know, I'm watching, we have so many helicopters, military.
Lots, yeah. We're right by
an Air Force base. We also live right by a hospital. So there's medevacs going over all the time.
Which, by the way, being by a military base really fucks up my fun in Arizona, which is that a UFO?
It's never a UFO.
It's never a UFO. It's always a
something from the Air Force.
Minimum some kind of crazy military fucking plane. Never a UFO.
Do you notice the ones that crash the most are like the little sightseeing ones?
I mean, but I mean, how many helicopters recently have they been fucking, I mean, God bless all the souls that have, you know, perished and stuff.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
But like, those are military ones that go down.
Well,
I just feel like if we were to shelve the helicopter, how are we ever supposed to get to jetpacks? They've been promising us jetpacks.
They've been promising us flying cars.
Exactly.
Too.
And the problem is, we're still like, we have helicopters. If you took away helicopters because they were never meant to be here, they were just meant to maybe give us some ideas for a little bit, and then we can make, you know, better planes and shit. No. Instead, helicopters are around. Love them when they're firefighting, but let's not lie. Cool as shit to see those fucking like DC-10s fly over the mountain ranges and just douse it in that flame retardant.
That's what
stuff.
I was waiting for, because I'm like, are we close enough to see them drop everything? But we're not. But still, they're pretty cool looking.
So, you know, before the whole place burns down.
We thought we'd get one last podcast.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, we've been, it's been a busy summer, of course. You know, we spent half of it opening up the spring with the Dead in Vegas. We made a couple trips there for shows. That's all done now, by the way. Speaking of things that were done, we've also not had time to do podcasts because our son graduated high school.
He sure did.
And I realized for some people, and this is, I have to preface this before I say it because this is just how I relate to it. Because I'm not equating by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we've had people express on socials like, oh, shit, man, I remember when I first started listening to you guys, he was a year old, right? Or 18 months old or 4 years old. Or, you know, people realize, oh, man, this person who in my mind, I feel like it's like a sitcom star. It's like Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Like, yeah, they're still little kids to us.
Yeah, you still think they're like, you got it, dude. Yeah. And then you're like, no, look at you. Look at you. You're all grown up. So I feel like with me, it's the equivalent to, and it happened very quickly in rapid succession. It was for me realizing Haley Mathers, Eminem's daughter, not only became of age, went to college, got married, and now is a mother. Yep. And I said, holy shit, man, I remember when, like...
Little Haley in his song.
Yeah, like, I remember him rapping as, like, this desperate father, you know, and I related to that stuff back in the day.
No, now Eminem's a grandpa.
Right, that's... And I'm like, holy shit. And then I'm like, man, I wonder, you know, I'm sure some people kind of the same thing. Maybe even though we've never had personal interaction, even though if we did, I'm sure it'd be pleasant. You know, you... It's still like he's, like, a little bit of a place marker.
Yeah.
Where you remember... Because, you know, we used him on the radio. I mean, Dylan was a pretty... I mean, it wasn't, like, all about him,
no.
But I think we were way more open than a lot of people. A lot of shows are like, either we're going to talk about that shit or we're definitely not.
What was the feature we used to do with him? It was Dylan.
Dylan in Depth.
Dylan in Depth. Oh my God, that was my favorite.
You can find those on YouTube, I think.
I think.
They're somewhere.
You'll have to find, you should find a clip of one. They were so good and it was my favorite thing we ever, ever did with him. It was really cool. So we used to have, we used to get these.
Pull back that fourth wall.
I'm going to pull back that fourth wall. Prep services. That's who. Basically, they send out everything to like morning shows and radio stations saying, here's what's going on. Here's music clips. Here's interviews.
It basically is meant for someone who needs to do a radio show. It's kind of like, here's your morning radio show in a box. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. All the big news stories, all the big funny stories, all the big TV shows.
They'll even write jokes for you.
Yeah, they'll write jokes. And then they will also sometimes include such audio masterpieces as...
pre-recorded interviews. Yeah. It's basically a celebrity answering questions, except there's no interviewer. You insert your own voice as the interviewer. Right. It gives you like a transcript of it.
Which, I mean, listen, I'm sure
somebody in middle of somebody in, you know, a Rancho, Oklahoma, Munga, Oklahoma, you know, a town of 600 people is not going to get Steve Martin on their morning
show.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, you have to kind of like, I'm sure on the outset, it looks like, oh, I can kind of use these, dummied up interviews to make my radio show look appealing and
that's fine.
Kind of dialed in and tuned in. But then when you kind of zoom out, like you said, how is this person doing? And not to say that it doesn't happen, right?
We
all love seeing, you know, the stories when people do show up in like little markets to do stuff like that. But they gave us these ridiculous interviews and we're like, we're never going to do these. Like we're never going to pretend
this celebrity on our show.
We're like, we're never going to open up our show and go, hey, everybody, it's Pat and AJ here. I want to say hello to Barbara Walters. Barbara, good morning. Hello. Let's talk about this new book you have going on. It's all about my life as a sportscaster.
So we thought it would be funnier to insert Dylan as the interviewer.
Right.
So we basically would bring him into the studio on a weekend and record him asking questions of these celebrities. And
we would try to write, you know, punchlines and basically, I mean, it's been done a million times over, right? Myself and AJ, we still to this day quote Little Pearl, who was one of the first viral videos ever off Funny or Die, one of Will Ferrell's writing friend's daughters. And it was a little girl, a 3-year-old, who, you know, their very funny parents fed them lines.
Yeah.
And then they would put them together. And we were doing the same thing. We're like, okay, little kid, say these lines.
Yeah.
He'd say the lines. We'd play it on the radio. It was a big gag. So, you know, we say all that. And find that audio, too. I'm telling you, it's on YouTube. Dylan in Depth is definitely on YouTube. I'll guarantee you. No, you don't think so?
I'll tell you why it's not later.
She gave me a fucking look like, no.
I'll tell you why it's not later, but you can find it somewhere. Yeah.
But, you know, so I understand that he's kind of sometimes in people's mind that age, but that
Because it's dude, like that with every single person in the world. You know that you age.
Yeah.
But like everybody else seems just frozen in time until you see him and you're like, oh shit, you're not.
But he graduated high school. That was wild. He's going to the University of Arizona in the fall.
He is.
Go Wildcats,
let
everybody.
Let me clarify this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State mm-hmm. and the University of Arizona
yeah.
are not the same goddamn college, okay? Mm-mm. I have had my cousin, his godfather, just texted. He's like, hey, he's going to Arizona State, right? I'm like, no. He's going to U of A, damn it. They're not the same school.
He's going to the one who graduated a Kardashian.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get that fucking straight.
There's more esteemed people that graduated from U of A, too. Okay.
He will be going to school with LeBron James's son. LeBron, well, one of LeBron's sons, and the latest one, he's the same age as our son. He got drafted. You know, he's obviously going to get a basketball scholarship, and he committed to the University of Arizona. So I'm hoping it like Parents Weekend or something, you know.
Oh, we'll run into LeBron.
Hit up LeBron. I can tell him I can tell him again as a native Chicagoan who was in both high school and college when the Bulls were on their run. You, sir, are no Michael Jordan. Oh,
yes, please say that to
him. I'd like to say that. I appreciate everything, but can we finally put this debate to rest? Yes. You're a strong number two. You're a strong number two. You're probably personally a better person. But if we're going to go with what happened on the court, son.
You never know. I mean, if I can run into Channing Tatum at an Irish dance competition.
You know what? Isn't that
funny? We could run
into
LeBron James at Parent Night of U of A.
And that's funny, too, because you even said, right? Like, then you're neutralized because you said Channing Tatum is, like, not Hollywood Channing Tatum when you've seen him. He's literally dad Channing Tatum
who's
running around making sure that his daughter is ready for her little competition. And wouldn't that, I mean, that's hilarious.
Somebody always says, hey, Channing Tatum's here.
Yeah, always.
But I swear to God, like, you'll blink and you'll miss him. Like, he just looks like a dad in a baseball cap running around.
And I understand LeBron's probably a little bit harder to mix into a crowd. Yeah. But still, I bet you for the people that do bump elbows when he'll be in town, because he no doubt him and his wife will come into town to see their son. There will absolutely be, like, there's a parent-to-parent kind of connection and not, like, superstar to, like, you know, regular person. It's like, your kid going here? Yeah, your kid going here? Yeah, your kid going here, too. Hey, what'd you think about that place? Oh, he didn't like that place. Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, there's going to be, like, that kind of moment. And just remember that, man. We all have fucking equalizing moments. Yeah. I know we love to put people on pedestals, and that's why universities love to tell you who graduated from there. But, you know, people's
celebrities, they're just like us.
Oh, hell yeah.
Except they have way more money.
They have a lot more money to make bad decisions. Speaking of, you have gotten me right to where I want to go.
Oh, how wonderful.
I have wanted, this is why we're back to record the podcast. I said, AJ, she's been sick since we got back from a dead show. She caught what we call the Wook flu. The Wook flu, most commonly seen at places like Bonnaroo.
Which I caught it there too a few times.
Desert Raves, Coachella. The Wook flu also travels, of course, with the originators, the dead. And AJ, we came back from the dead like 2 weeks ago, and she's been sick.
2 days later, I got sick.
Laid out.
I'm so sorry. My voice isn't 100%.
What happens when you start getting into fucking drum circles, lady, okay? You were in a pool with a lot of dreadlocks, okay?
No, you know what? The only time I was in the pool was early in the morning when there was like nobody in there because the pool looked kind of gross later in the day. It looked like hippie soup. And I love my people, but still, I also...
water
can actually feel gross because too many people are in it, I'm going to stay out.
So this is a perfect segue. I said you got to feel... And you feel better, by the way?
Yeah, I'm about, I'd say 85%.
Okay, I mean, you sound good. She sounded terrible for a week. I don't know how her big bad corporation that may or may not be targeted by the sitting president of the United States allowed you on the air, because holy shit, man.
Do you know how I did it? Actually, well, here's the thing. I don't have PTO. I have no sick days.
No. I get that. But just by like quality control standards, well, I feel like they'd be like, holy shit, man, she needs to take a nap.
I spoke in a very monotone voice.
Yes.
Because if I went up or down in my tone, it would crack or it wouldn't go anywhere. So I just had to kind of talk like this throughout my entire, like, there was no, oh, okay.
These are like the stories that you hear about, like, fucking Elvis getting a shot of amphetamine in his ass to get out on stage. He's like, I can't go. I can't do it, baby. Give him this.
No, I'm fine.
Now those are B12 shots, by the way. Now they give them. But trust me, we're still pumping people full of shit before they get on stages because, like, you know, the show has to go on. And in your case, the radio and all that.
Yeah, you're blocking my fan. It's hot in here.
Has to go on. Diddy's on trial.
Oh, God.
And people are testifying in open court. People that you have probably bought their songs, streamed their songs. I know for our people, probably booty grinded to a couple of those bangers in the club back in the day. And now we're hearing all about their dirty deeds. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Diddy curated an image of a party monster. So much that I'm pretty sure if you were to take my now defunct Twitter account, somewhere in there I talk about, good God, if I could ever die and come back as somebody, I feel like it would be Diddy.
Oh, I'm so glad that doesn't age well.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad you don't have a Twitter anymore.
Jesus. I mean, that was during the early days of Twitter when we started, you know, getting these kind of like daily glimpses into people's lives way before it was, you know, anything kind of organized. And Diddy was one of those people who I followed, and I remember he was just, this is going to sound terrible, it was a lot of positivity.
Yeah.
Like, this guy every day was like, it's a beautiful day to be alive, and we're going to get out there, we're going to fucking kill it, and we're going to, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But Diddy,
he was hiding some shit, man.
Diddy built some credit with us, right? I mean, he quickly shed the image of the East Coast, West Coast hip-hop feud that led to people being fucking murdered, right? He gets out of that world. Next thing you know, he's dating Jennifer Lopez. Next thing you know, he has reality shows on MTV. Next thing you know, he is kind of synonymous with other big names, like you can say Snoop Dogg, and your grandma probably goes, I know Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Diddy's on the Ellen Show dancing.
Diddy was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Jesus Christ.
Which of all their controversial episodes, who would have thunk that's that the one would
you're
be
like,
the most?
Oh, man, you guys got to pull that Hulu. Put back up the blackface episodes, but take down the one with Diddy.
Oh, the Diddy one's so funny.
We can take a joke. We can't take Predators. So Diddy, after this lifetime of, you know, kind of building up this social credit, was charged very much kind of like how R. Kelly was charged. And in case, I feel like a lot of people aren't, and not that I'm trying to get like fucking some kind of Dateline episode newsy on you, but I feel like not a lot of people are hip to what he's being charged with.
Yeah, all this stuff you're hearing about him right now, he's not being charged with anything because of that, really.
Yeah, I mean, at the core of this,
he's being charged with sex trafficking.
Yeah, at the core of this is much like the R. Kelly convictions, which is a violation of something called the Mann Act. And the Mann Act goes back to, I believe, 1918. And the Mann Act was meant to allow federal crimes against people who traffic prostitutes across state lines, yeah. Right? It was a way to kind of maybe take a pimp who had, let's say, bought off all the local police in Boston, but now he goes over to New York. Now there's a big federal prosecutor that don't take no guff, and he can put that guy in jail. And it's like a lot of things, laws get enacted, and they're there forever. Times change. Interpretations of laws change. Yeah. And the Mann Act now essentially is being invoked, where Diddy engaged in trafficking sex workers, male and female, although I feel like the emphasis is going to be on male, to have relations with his partner at the time, who you may know better as Cassie. Cassie had a huge number one hit. It was called Me and You, which had the Diddy Bad Boy sound all over. Yeah. Like, it sounded like it came right out of the old hit machine, right? But the Mann Act violations come in because it looks like Diddy took Cassie all around the country. That's where you start getting into different states. That's the interstate. That's where this becomes, you know, why is a federal crime involved? And he has her involved in what's called freak-offs. And I think we'd all heard the lore. And again, they were kind of like mainstream America jokes about Diddy parties.
Yeah.
How many times had we seen on...
You'd seen probably every single one of your favorite celebrity celebrities at a Diddy party, whether it was the white party or whatever. But there were pictures of almost every celebrity. I'm not saying they engaged in the freak-offs, but they were at the parties where these things happened.
And
they're all trying to distance themselves, too.
And it's interesting because now that you're going back and dissecting, and trust me, there's lots of tape and lots of people talking from over the decades now, which is weird to think how long Diddy's been around doing this, where they kind of separate themselves. You would see people when they go, hey, you were spotted out at the Diddy White party. What can you tell me about that? And there are some famous interviews of people go, well, you know, I kind of get out of there early before things get crazy because I don't know. I heard some things, but I go. And so, you know, now what we're finding out is that, you know, behind this party image was, to be honest, a kink, yeah, right? I don't know how else to put
he's
it.
He's got a freaky kink.
The guy likes to, it sounds like, coordinate sex scenes, which, again, you think about kind of who this person is, a very powerful CEO who famously on a reality show made a bunch of young rappers walk like 10 miles to get them cheesecake.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can kind of figure out the guy gets off on making people do his will, right? Yeah. So what we're learning is that Diddy has this girlfriend, Cassie, and she is taken across state lines all around the country to participate in what are called freak-offs. And the freak-offs involve Cassie along with sex workers. This is where we get into more interstate stuff. He's hiring sex workers, male sex workers, to come in and participate in some group sex with Cassie. And you're hiring sex workers. That's prostitution. You're taking them across state lines. I'm trying to do this to you so when they come back with whatever verdict, you can kind of go, well, hold on. I heard that he beat Cassie. I heard that he blew up Kid Cudi's car. That's none of that is, no. He is not being charged with none of that.
He's not on trial for any of
right.
That.
We're all there. All what the prosecution is doing is putting together a story for everyone.
They're trying to set up character. They're trying to show you that he is basically a huge piece of shit outside of these kinky parties. Like, he literally, he beat his girlfriend. He set Kid Cudi's car on fire. He broke into his house.
Which,
they're trying to set up that he's just a terrible person.
You would think, by the way, this is how you knew it was going to be bad. And by the way, if you want to listen to the out-of-pocket version of what me and AJ are talking about, please follow 50 Cent on any social.
50 Cent
50 is out of pocket, but he is giving you the unfiltered view of probably what's in the back of your mind.
I adore 50 Cent. I mean,
he's got enough money to fucking be like, fuck you. He's saying it all.
He is like the only person who's coming out.
Because he's clean. You know he's never fucking been at one.
No.
You know that much. But man, 50, this is a long game 50's been playing. Yeah. And it's paying. It's paying off in spades right now.
Follow his Instagram.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm not saying everything he's posting is okay, but it's definitely entertaining.
Okay. So, yeah. So here's what it comes down to. Is that these freak-offs, and by the manner of which they happen, which, by the way, as you mentioned there, the beatings and stuff of Cassie, which are video documented. Me and you are not saying alleged. These are videos that were...
He's on video beating her,
right? It is...
Remember that when that came... We were on the radio when that came out. We had a morning show, and I just remember it came out... And it went away pretty quickly.
Fast. Yeah. Didn't they like settle her case the next day? It was like $20 million.
It was out real
I mean, you
quick.
Could say the genie's out the bag, but I mean, boy, a $20 million fucking payday in 24 hours. That means you are worried about people. And I would be worried too. Diddy, you know, this is when trials are going to be interesting. His defense attorneys, grade A scumbags, right? The best paid scumbags in the business. These guys their opening arguments was, okay, you're going to find out that our client's a bad guy. It's never good when the defense's opening statement is, you're going to hear some terrible things. They're all true, folks.
It's like, you know what?
We're not disputing that. And you're like, oh, no.
We just watched a Dateline episode like that where it was a kid like on trial for murder. Mm-hmm. And his attorney opened it up with, he's guilty. You heard it. He's guilty.
I mean, you heard
he's
it.
Just not guilty of the charges they're charging him with. So you're like, holy shit, that's bad. When your attorney comes out and says, you're guilty. He's my client's guilty.
But you feel like then there's a strategy for it,
well,
right?
Yeah, and of course, they wouldn't just say that.
You started to feel the strategy, and I think the star witness has to be Cassie. Cassie, is testifying 8.5 months pregnant.
I feel so bad for her as a woman. Like, oh my God. Forget about what she did in the past. Consensual or not, that's not what's on trial here.
Mm-hmm.
She is testifying about some of the most disgusting sexual acts that she did 20 years ago while she is literally on the stand about to pop out a baby. Like, it just looks like, I just feel really bad for her. I do.
And with you know, with all these cases, as it usually happens when you do have a victim take the stand, they have to go through the rigmarole of the defense. And like you said, she's, you know, being, well, hold on, didn't you want to do this?
Did you want to? Yeah.
We have text messages where you say, and then, of course, we have to get into the dichotomy of abusers and their victims.
Yes.
And we've heard this a million times over. Well, they were that in fear. Why did they not leave or something? And I think it's hard for people who were not in that situation to figure out. Sometimes it's not that easy.
Well,
right?
God, especially with what we're learning about Diddy. I mean, so she dated, and I just kind of had to wrap this up for work the other day. Yeah, so I'm like current on it, but she kind of dated Kid Cudi on and off while she was taking a break from Diddy.
It sounds,
because they say that they had a relationship. Diddy and Cassie had a relationship for like 18 years, well, but there were some on and off again points. And that's when she started dating Kid Cudi. And that's when Diddy broke into Cudi's house and, dropped an explosive into his, a Molotov cocktail into his Porsche and blew it up.
By the way, shout out Kid Cudi, Southside Chicago, mentally ill, bipolar rock and roller in the building. We love you, Cudi.
But just the fact, I'm like, this is what she was up against. This guy. Aside from Diddy just being Diddy, one of the richest and most powerful men in the industry, this is what he does when she starts dating somebody else. Of course she's scared.
Well, if you kind of look into, like you said, when they started dating, I mean, it literally is like a billion others that we can probably talk about, both that we are known and unknown. But she walks in the office, and within a couple months, it's, oh, you're the next big thing. You're, you know, my girlfriend. And in the Diddy world, which they kind of figure out, and she figures out, being his girlfriend doesn't necessarily mean you're his only girlfriend.
Ew.
But like a lot of douche canoes who engage in that kind of lifestyle, they don't just got to be famous.
They just have to be men.
Yeah, they have to be men. while they will say, you're my girlfriend, that but don't mean I can't have another.
You can't have another.
You cannot have, yes. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you that. I shit you not. I went through this once.
Did you go through that?
With a guy I dated for like 5 months, and he was very, very clear that he didn't want to be exclusive.
Okay. He wanted an open relationship.
He wanted an open relationship for him.
Casual.
When I went out on a date with somebody else, he got really pissed off.
Oh,
and I looked at him and I was like, what the hell? Are you joking my ass right now?
So are you saying you want to be exclusive? No.
But only I can have the open. So yes. I get it. I mean, this is such a typical thing.
So, you know, but right off the bat, here's her relationship with this guy. He is the head of her record label, which is in turn, let's just be honest, the keys to her dream,
career,
her career. Everything is now wrapped up into him. So before you know it, she's a lover, she's an employee, and you know, that's...
She's stuck.
And by the way, mention the age, she is young. She's a teenager. Yeah. Yes, of age 19, but I mean, we're not even fully neurologically developed, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's the kind of relationship she's in. So somewhere along the line, as you say, you grow up a little bit and you go, hold on, this motherfucker is all around town. And apparently it was something about Diddy going out with Kim Porter. Kim Porter is passed away. Boy, people are going to look into that now. But she was the mother of Diddy's kids.
Okay.
She was his baby's mama. And they went out to something. And apparently that's what really kind of triggered Cassie. Like, this motherfucker is out there, you know, with all these other women, and she starts, as you said, casually dating Kid Cudi, and
then he breaks into Kid Cudi's house and bombs his Porsche.
Well, the way it
goes,
scary
shit, man.
I mean, and again, we're not talking shit. Kid Cudi was on the stand after they got done with Cassie. After Cassie's done for 3 days, pregnant as shit. I mean, Cudi's like, I will get on and I will fucking corroborate everything. And he literally describes Diddy from one of their interactions as a Marvel supervillain.
That's a pretty bad, you don't want to be described as that.
And yes, this was after, as AJ said, Diddy had essentially chased Cassie and Cudi from his home. He had taken hiding at a hotel with Cassie. And then because we all have cameras these days, he was able to see that Diddy's posse had arrived at his home. They awaited for him to return. Shocker, he decided to stay at the hotel.
No.
But then when he comes back to his house, his cameras are ajar. someone has entered his home. This is the fucked up part. They opened Christmas presents.
Yeah, that part killed me.
They're like, maybe there's some good shit there. I mean, it might be a Louis Vuitton bag or something. And then...
If you're going to break into a rich person's house, right? It's legit. I would open their presents too.
So they don't trash the place.
No.
They open up Christmas presents and then apparently take Kid Cudi's little dog. No, he's not DMX. He does not have a big pit bull Rottweiler. He's got a little toy terrier, which they found locked in the bathroom. They said noticeably disturbed.
Oh, honey. First of all,
they traumatized the dog.
Kid Cudi, why would you not bring that dog to the hotel with you?
Seriously, left the dog behind.
If somebody was threatening me and my household, I would not leave.
The dog.
I would not leave and leave my pets home.
Cassie, we gotta go. Fuck the dog.
Right, that's terrible. This dog can fit in your bag, dude.
And of course,
I'm glad he didn't hurt the dog.
But they may have traumatized the dog.
Oh yeah.
And then shortly thereafter that, there is a incident. Again, Kid Cudi's not there, but yes, one of his cars apparently had a Molotov cocktail, very communist Russia, thrown at it. I guess it's a very crude way of blowing up a car. They needed to, I'm kind of upset. Diddy's from New York, which is the origination of the American organized crime mafia. They know how to blow up cars.
Yeah.
You tell me Diddy couldn't get in touch with one person that could give you the Goomba's guide to blowing up cars 101.
No, because
no one does a Molotov cocktail. This is that's very primitive.
Yeah,
okay?
But that's
insulting to Kid Cudi.
But again, I think he planned this very fast, considering they ran in, opened Christmas presents, locked the dog in a bathroom or a closet. I don't think this was planned very well. I think this was emotions in the moment and go do this for me now.
So Cudi says those two incidents happened separate from each other. After that, he is summoned by Diddy. And he literally says, this is where the Marvel supervillain shit comes in. He says it was some industrial part of LA. They meet in some warehouse.
Oh my God.
He's like, Diddy was dressed in all black and all leather. And that's where he goes. He stood with his hands behind his back like he was
like a
mob boss. And apparently,
dude, this isn't, life is not a movie, pal. I know you have the money to make it look like a movie, but it's not.
Which is where the dick measuring comes out. Because as you said before, right? He's allowed to fuck around, she's not. Apparently, he said that's when Diddy goes, dude, why you fucking my girl? And it's when Cudi goes, yo, I didn't know she was your girl. And they kind of, leave it at that. Cudi says, while he shakes his hand, he looks him in the eye and says, so what are we going to do about my car? Oof. And he said,
gangster.
And he said, Diddy looked right back at him and goes, what car?
Yep.
And I'm like, holy fuck. And there's goons there, there's the goons.
And Diddy's never been found guilty of that whole car
thing. But there's police reports. All of this is very, Cudi just called the police because you got an insurance claim now to file. You got to have a police report.
Yeah, but how it is with rich people. They get away with everything. It's very obvious.
Again, we're learning out stuff. They are putting on these are all the prosecution witnesses. So we are establishing who one of the victims was. We're establishing another one of the victims. We're even establishing people who were involved, sex workers, such as men with the name The Punisher.
Oh, that's gross.
No. But it's not what you think it is. That's right, you dirty motherfuckers. You've all heard about The Punisher. The Punisher is a sex worker who apparently was hired by Diddy on multiple occasions.
No, we have not all heard about The Punisher, Pat.
And people go, oh my Lord. This must mean something about his sexual prowess. Perhaps the size of his member? No, in the 1980s, he played street ball in New York, and because of his defensive style, became known as The Punisher.
Well, might as well stick with the nickname.
But apparently it worked as he segued into exotic dancing in the 90s and then found himself in the escort business. And this guy is on the fucking stand talking all about how he's getting hired, getting paid between $1,200 and $2,000, which, by the way, the prosecution was trying to figure out why the differential in pay. Because if they can really tie in that it was performance-based, it like makes Diddy like they're just locking this case in.
Let me clear something up for everybody. Pat is absolutely wrapped up in this shit, and like he will come in daily now.
Thank you.
While I'm working with a Diddy wrap up for the day.
They call me all that, Pat, and this is the Bad Boy News Network. Here today, give you your Diddy wrap up. It's just really interesting to me because I think a lot of us, you know, he was one of those guys that were there. There's just a lore. And I hear a lot of people bringing up some things. And I think they're valuable criticisms about if they can put Diddy in jail for this, then, you know, why didn't Hugh Hefner ever go to jail? And I go, well, you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right.
No.
I think Hugh Hefner benefited by a lot of things, mainly probably his gender, race, and the time period in which he kind of grew his empire. But we're learning out lots of weird shit. So I see people getting a little weird about, well, how come him? How come him? And I don't know. But, you know, that shouldn't absolve just because, you know, maybe we're not in everyone's bedrooms.
No, that's the what about, you know what I'm argument.
Saying? It is the what about
please,
argument.
Please, you know, if we can do anything collectively as a society, I mean, there's a lot of shit we need to fix right now. But one of the things I'd like us to all stop doing is the what about argument, because it is so ridiculous. That's when somebody says, well, I can't believe this and I can't believe that. And then the first comment is,
what about this? What about,
that we're not talking about that.
I mean, there has to be some, I mean.
That doesn't mean, like you said, two wrongs doesn't make a right.
What about Hugh Hefner? And he goes, you know what? No, let's have those conversations. And I believe a lot of people.
We should have those conversations, are having but those not conversations. Right now. Yeah.
That doesn't absolve this conversation. So I don't know. I think this guy thinks he can get off. I mean, they offered him a plea deal.
He turned it down.
50 cent every day is just like, dude, what
you
the
should have taken the plea deal.
Right. He's like, why? What amount of money? Like, was it? Why? Why are you letting all your dirty laundry get aired? Because it's everything.
You know what? I'm sure 50 cent. I mean, every rapper wanted to be a mogul like Diddy.
Like Diddy. Like he said it, right?
He set the bar that high. And I'm sure, like you said, 50 Cent, I'm sure he's not the cleanest person in the world. We've all got bad shit we did in our past.
But not like
Not like Diddy, why I think he's being so open.
Oh, that's why.
He's mocking the trial so openly.
You know what?
And, but I'm sure, you know, 50 Cent wanted to be a mogul too. And he never quite made it there. I mean, he's a big deal. He is. But he's not Diddy status.
I would argue probably business-wise bigger, but as far as, status-wise, I think in the mainstream, but I mean, Diddy's got his, or 50's got his hands
in a lot
of shit.
No, he does.
He's very clean. Speaking of clean, this is one of the big things that they're bringing up in this trial. 50, by the way, famously sober.
Good for him.
Right? All you motherfuckers thought he like got high. He, even back in the day in New York when he got shot, he goes, I never got it. He goes, I like making money.
So he's like always been sober?
Yeah. He said,
so even when he's saying like in the club,
yes,
he wasn't drinking in the club.
No. he said that it's growing up on the block in New York, he figured out, I like making money.
Yeah.
These people like buying drugs and they like, you know, buying liquor. Fuck that. I'm going to sell it all.
Yeah.
And so he famously is very sober, but he's gotten in bed with liquor companies. He's gotten in bed with obviously the image, right? Like in the club, you would have assumed, oh, you're drinking in the club or smoking in the club. No, he's like, I'm here making money.
He's talking about bottles and shit, but no, but I'm sure he loves, and he's just like the rest of us. He loves seeing the big guys that have been on
top. Get their comeuppance, right?
We all want to see the rich guys who you know are pieces of shit get their comeuppance.
So the opposite of 50 in this is how they're framing Diddy. They're framing him, by the way, full-blown addict.
I'm shocked.
Full-blown, and like I see the defense, what they're doing. And listen, I'm not going to lie. The what we have found out, it's an impressive drug intake, okay? Yeah. The man liked a steady flow of cocaine, MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy, ketamine, which is a disassociative, high-dose marijuana gummies, so like 100, 200 milligram gummies.
How does one of those is enough to blow me out for 24? I don't even touch those.
And then, of course,
how did he do all that at the same time?
I'm saying all those, and you're like, well, you got to smooth that out, and that's why Xanax was always the fifth one on the list.
Good God.
But he had like a nuclear football. You know how the president, no matter who they are, has the nuclear football that follows them around? Diddy had like the fucking drug football filled with that shit.
Yeah.
To the point to when he got arrested at the hotel room, it was there. When they raided the place in Florida, it was there. Everything Cassie and the sex workers testify to, they're like, what'd you do with the freak-offs? I go, well, we had a mix of this and a mix of that and a mix of this and a mix of that.
So this is really interesting because we just watched, and I can't recommend it enough, the Netflix documentary on Brett Favre last night.
Yes.
It's only an hour long. I feel like it could have been even longer. I would have been cool with a half hour of extra information, but it's an hour long. It's called Untold. And it basically, you know, and it's not a spoiler, but the whole, you know, mantra of the documentary is that we idolize celebrities so much that we are not even willing to forgive. We are willing to forget
yeah,
all the shit, the bad shit they've done.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who are still like that with Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
They look at him and say, I don't care. I care about his music. That's all I care about.
Look what he did for X. Look what he did for Y.
And they do the same thing for Brett Favre. You know, they don't give a shit about all the stuff he did to people and the welfare thing and Jen Sturger. They don't care. They're just like, well, I liked him as a football player. We tend to absolve rich and powerful men for this stuff.
It is a...
I'm not saying he's going to get off because of that, but I think that's why he thinks he will.
No, but yeah, like you said, it is interesting. He must think that he's has a decent chance, or at least his lawyers have convinced him he has a chance, because this dude is like willing to put it... I mean, he is letting it all out.
Yeah.
He's letting it all out, hoping that at the end of the day, the jury goes... Nah, none of, I mean, and I don't know, man, everything they're saying, I'm like, I think you're going to prison, pal. You listen, there's a line from the R. Kelly docuseries, Surviving R. Kelly, right? Which, I mean, led to his literal imprisonment, right? A bunch of victims from decades got together and they were interviewed and it got on TV. There's a line during it. I don't know if it's from the first or second season, but I've always felt like it applies not just to R. Kelly, but to all these situations. Like you're talking Brett Favre with everything from stealing welfare money to sending dick pics to fucking employees for the New York Jets. You know, down to terrible stuff like Diddy and all this. The fly jock, legendary fly jock, Tom Joyner, said in the docuseries, and I think he was applying it more to the African-American community, but I think this kind of applies more countrywide, especially for us. He said, it is the church in us. It is the Christian in us. It is the redeeming nature of what we believe in as a community that anyone is capable of evil. But then anyone is capable of redemption.
And
it all, and it hit me so hard because it was like.
Well, but because again, and you can tell how much informative murder porn we've been watching.
No, it's a lot.
We watched a Dateline last night about a guy who killed this most beloved girl in this small Texas town. Just brutally murdered her. Everybody knew him. There was a manhunt for him. Before he was taken into police, he told the pastor of the church that the girl used to go to, that, hey, I murdered her. I want to confess at the church. And the pastor let him do it. And the people in the congregation who knew this chick, who he brutally murdered, said, I want to be mad at him.
Yeah, they all took like the hard Christian route,
but I
right?
can't. And they're like, we stood next to him.
I mean, we are
and supported his salvation. And I'm like, that's how it works.
We are a, by people far, we are a, by far, regardless of what your uncle says, who watches a lot of Newsmax, we are a Judeo-Christian nation, right? I mean, that is just the kind of core.
That's the majority.
That's a majority. If you kind of go north to south, east to west, you know, the shade of the people and maybe the way they practice it may be a little different. But trust me, that's kind of the overall value system. And I'm just, so, and I'm only pointing that out to say that's a little bit of that heartbeat of, like you're saying, of there's redemption in people, right? There's a, you know, okay, Brett Favre, you fucked up. Okay, you fucked up again. Okay, you fucked up again. Okay, but this time you're gonna get it right.
But you were
right?
Such a good quarterback.
So I think there's a lot of proof to
and you know what,
truth to like what you're saying. You know,
they're not, those two things are not mutually exclusive. You can say, I forgive you. And you can also
say, there's a penance for that.
Well,
right?
And that's what they did in that episode of Dateline. Yeah. The congregation said, okay, we forgive you. Now get your ass to jail.
I was going
to
say,
rest
yeah,
of your life.
That's the, you know, cafeteria Catholic in me, cradle Catholic, is that I was always taught that you had to go to the magic box and confess. But then trust me, there was that you had to do something afterwards, which I always hoped was just like 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. But when the priest started getting, you know, creative, you're like, oh, fuck. It was like going to a judge that was going to make you stand on the corner with a sandwich board. The priest would go, what'd you do? Lifted $5 out of your mom's purse. What for? Two packs of smokes, huh? Okay, listen, I'm going to need you to go and mow the lawn for your mother. What does your mother like to do? She likes, what? She likes to go to movies? You got to go to the movie with your mother. Then say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, okay? That was it. I figured it out. I said, okay, but you had to do something.
You don't get away with it. Being forgiven doesn't mean you get away with it.
I don't think the defense is going to be putting on a case. I believe we're closing after the prosecution wraps.
The defense is just going to stand up and say, we rest. There's nothing else to say.
I think they're just going to be like, closing arguments. And I think the argument's going to be he's a bad guy. He's a terrible person. He's a drug addict. Right. They're going to trust me. They're going to highlight that and they're going to say, but, you know, everything that he did was, behind closed doors. This is America. And if you want to do this, you can do that and you shouldn't have to go to jail for it. That has to be the argument. I don't know. Put it like this. I think we're going to be getting a Diddy R. Kelly duet. And it's not because they're going to be in the same recording studio together.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.